What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome in to the Monday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Hope everybody's off to a wonderful start here on this Monday morning. It is Christmas this week. We have limited time with you this week, and boy, do we have a lot of things to discuss. Titans and Preds can't stop winning. Professional sports vibes are high in this town. A lot of stuff going on around here, Joe. Good morning. How we doing?
Yeah, we're doing. There's a lot of winning going on. I'm doing pretty well, considering I'm up 130 to 106 on the number one seed in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. Now, you do have Jonathan Taylor tonight, and I have lost actually a championship with Edger and James going nuts on me on Monday Night Football. I still carry the scars from that, so I'm not going to gloat yet. Also, 4-1 with my lock and pigskin pick'em. So I'm doing a hell of a lot better than the non-playoff going Detroit Lions.
Yeah, I mean, just a 13-1 regular season for me in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League, totally dominant. And this weekend, you know, Jordan Love plays two series. Devontae Adams' hamstring decides to act up, and I suck. Not going to win. Just all for naught.
To be fair, Jordan Love got 3.78, and my injured quarterback, Lamar Jackson, got 4.74.
That's true.
So.
Yeah.
High-level production. Quarterback battle.
Yeah. Yeah. High-level production from the QBs on that front. Ian Safar, how we doing? What's going on?
Good morning. Doing okay. It was an okay weekend of football. Not good on the picks. At least the Patriots pulled out my lock for me barely
Brainster
last night. So not a good weekend of picks, but it looks like I will be facing off in the fantasy football championship against the winner of whoever pulls off.
It's going to be Rex.
So assuming Jonathan Taylor doesn't go too crazy, it looks like I'll be playing Joe in the championship.
Don't jinx anything.
Jonathan Taylor getting 24 points is, you know.
Oh, it's definitely doable.
Yeah.
You got San Francisco's defense, too, though. So.
Well, yeah. Some points. Okay, so.
Grandpa Rivers may throw a few lollipops tonight, and that'll be it.
That's true. I could use a couple arm punts, Phil. Help me out.
We got a lot going on the program today. Obviously, we're going to get into the Titans and their big win against the Kansas City Chiefs, which, as I'm looking at tankathon.com, Joe, has taken them from number 3 to number 6 in the draft order, which I'm sure Titans fans will love that part of it. But, well, we will get into the Titans throughout the show today. Welcome your thoughts at 615-737-1025. It was, trying to think of the right word for it. I don't know if it's interesting. Eventful weekend on the college football playoff front that we'll get into a little bit later in the show as well. Thank God we got to waste our time watching James Madison and Tulane play. Who could have possibly seen that coming? We'll get into that a little bit later in the program as well. And Corey Curtis from News 2 for his weekly visit at 8 o'clock, which I'm sure will not be fun for me to start that off with how the Packers-Bears game ended this weekend. Good stuff.
Ooh, yeah, there is that too.
A lot of stuff going on the program today. Joe, the Titans get it done in dominant fashion. They win 26-9 against the Kansas City Chiefs. And frankly, it could have been worse. I mean, they were by far the better team in this game. Gardner Minshew goes down in the game. He finished 3 of 8 with 15 yards passing. And then Chris Oladokun coming in the game for the Kansas City Chiefs playing at quarterback. So it kind of shows you where the Chiefs were in that game yesterday. Cam Ward, 21 of 28, 228 yards, two touchdowns, a quarterback rating of 122.3. And, Joe, all the Titans do now is get into the mid-20s and maybe low-30s when they play football games. An offensive juggernaut. They're winning games. What'd you make of the Titans and their game against Kansas City yesterday?
Well, they got screwed out of 30 points.
Sure did.
Like they showed Jeff Simmons reporting eligible, and they took that beautiful Tony Pollard touchdown off the board. So it could have been worse for the Chiefs, better for the Titans, like you said. Good win. We wondered last week, like, okay, Gardner Minshew, you've just been knocked out of the playoffs. You are a team that you're a franchise that's only happy winning Super Bowls. Travis Kelce came back pissed off because he lost a Super Bowl last year. So tell me how much you've got in the tank, Chiefs. And I do remember, you know, after the safety, which was just, you know, great play by Jeff Simmons, but also completely unblocked.
Yeah.
Jeff Simmons, you know, Trey Smith screaming at somebody to wake the fart up. And I liked that fire from Trey Smith, but I didn't think there was too much. So, you know, that is, let's be real about the Chiefs. It's just, it's a couple more games and it's, you know, retirements and whatever and vacations. But still, the Tennessee Titans are playing better football. They have figured some things out. Again, they're doing some things. This is what we're saying. This is what I say, like, every time after one of these games where they physically batter an opponent, they're doing what I thought they might be able to do this year, which is to push people around, move the line of scrimmage, and run the ball and possess the ball a little bit. And then I thought Cam Ward was that his best game? I mean, it's one
good.
Of his better games. Yeah, pretty good game from Cam Ward.
Yeah, I thought he was really good. And, you know, he didn't have to do a ton in that game, but I mean, there was a drive, I think it may have been the first drive of the second half, where he made two of his best throws of the year, like back-to-back on that drive. Really good stuff from him there. He was consistent. I can't think, and maybe I just missed it, Joe, I can't think of a play yesterday where he just flat-out missed one. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm not thinking of it at the moment, but I can't think of one off the top of my head where he just flat-out missed it. And we've been talking about that. Like, it feels, you know, there have been moments every week over the past few weeks where, you know, it's like, wow, what a play by Cam Ward. And it's clear that he's getting better. But there also have been some throws that you just cannot miss as a starting quarterback in the NFL. And I didn't think there was one of those yesterday. I mean, I guess there was one on the sideline to Helm where he's open and Helm couldn't get that other foot down really early in the game. And they, you know, they buzzed it and looked back at his right foot there coming down and bounce. You'd like to see that ball get completed. But I didn't feel like there was any egregious misses from Cam Ward yesterday, unless my memory is just failing me less than 24 hours later.
There was one over the middle to DK also there where he kind of sailed it, although I thought DK maybe got a little alligator arms on that one, and maybe it could have been closer with a little bit more extension. But yeah, that's about it. Nothing played. And again, what you mentioned, those two throws, I think both of them were outside the numbers, right?
Yes.
I think so. Certainly the one to DK was, but yeah, the one to Iyo Manor was too. So that's what we've been talking about. Is it outside the numbers? Is it more downfield? I mean, both of those plays were had some air travel and were outside the numbers and were dead on perfect. So yeah, I just thought he, and I thought, you know, a couple times getting out and running a little bit too, you know, to just take advantage of an opportunity to get a few yards, which in some weeks he's done, and in some weeks it's like he just hasn't done it all. So it feels like when he does that a couple times, that almost leads to a better overall performance.
Yeah, like and then, you know, running the ball, that's what they've been able to do the last few weeks, and 164 yards on the ground yesterday for the Titans. Pollard with 102, averaging 4.9. Gary, so he continues to run the ball well in the last part of the season here. Spears had 13 for 52. Spears had another 53 in the receiving game as well. So over 100 yards total of offense from Tajay Spears yesterday, which was good to see. And again, I mean, you're talking about a receiving core right now that, I mean, their veteran leader at the moment is Van Jefferson. So it's not like they're going to make a ton of plays out there. But Iyo Manor, three catches, 58 yards. Helm, 2 catches on 3 targets again. Jim DK, 3 catches on 40 yards. Chig had a couple of big plays in the game. I mean, it's clear that the offense is getting better and that they found something. The offensive line has found something here, and it's been good to see over the last few weeks. I mean, Kansas City ended up with 2 sacks and 5 quarterback hits in this game. So it's never perfect out there, but it's now 3 weeks in a row, Joe, where you look at the performances since the Jacksonville game, and you're talking 31 points, 24 points, 26 points that they've put up. Cam Ward has 6 touchdowns to 1 interception in that span. And, you know, you're talking about a 75% completion percentage yesterday, 62.1 against San Francisco. Like, they're getting better. And we talked about that all year long. Forever, it felt like they really weren't. There wasn't a whole lot of progress that was getting made. And towards the last part of the year here, and I understand, you know, what's going on with Kansas City, but they are clearly getting better, which I think, even if you're a Titans fan that's freaking out about draft position right now, isn't it good to see, like, the young quarterback and the young offense showing some signs of improvement at the end of the year?
Yeah, I know we're going to get into this, and we will, and I'm sure it'll be interesting, but I will have no understanding whatsoever today for the Titans fan who's purely just pissed off because of what's happened with the draft positioning. This is – we had this debate before with Kaharsky, right? Like, you know, the value of winning and all that stuff. And to me, it's like, you know, if it's like at the end of the year and you could get the one, ooh, man, does that win that keeps you out of the one spot, is it really going to help you that much? Eh. But like you said, there's a young core right now that's improving. And so when you can improve to the point of also winning and kind of learning how to win, you know, getting used to winning, understanding what it takes to win while improving, yeah, that's definitely what you want.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We're off and running today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Titans win 26-9 against Kansas City. We'll take your reaction to the game yesterday, your thoughts on Cam Ward and the offense's performance. More on that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game.
It was the first time we played good enough, complimentary, all 3 phases. Defense, I think they kept us in the game the entirety, you know, part of it, especially when we had our 3 and outs, but, you know, it was a good team win.
That's Cam Ward after the game yesterday. Titans win 26-9 against the Kansas City Chiefs. Taking your thoughts on the Titans offense and the improvement that we're seeing at the end of the year here. 615-737-1025. Cam Ward, 21-28, 228 yards, 2 touchdowns, quarterback rating of 122.3 yesterday. And you can certainly make the argument that that was his best game as a member of the Titans, if not certainly one of his best games as a member of the Tennessee Titans. And Joe, by the way, I mean, they won a game at home, which they've not done in a long time, over a calendar year. So good to see the Titans be able to pick up a home win yesterday as well. And I thought Jeffrey Simmons had some really interesting comments on what the win means on Cam Ward and his development. And a pretty bold statement that he made after the game yesterday in terms of how he views it. Here's what Jeffrey Simmons had to say after the Titans win yesterday.
Just like today, like I told him, I mean most, you know, passing yards in Titan history for a rookie. I was kind of threw that in and joked with him, but like that's big time. And that the expectation that he had for himself, and that's the reason why, man, honestly, I keep telling people, that's the reason why I don't want to go nowhere. You know, I see the competitive nature. I see the growth. You know, as a rookie of Cam, I see I can see where he could take this franchise. So, you know, I'm looking forward to continue to end the season the right way. And we'll see how next year goes for us.
So that was Jeffrey Simmons, Joe. I thought some pretty strong stuff there of, you know, that's stuff like that is why I keep telling people that I don't want to go anywhere. Cam Ward, the way that he's playing, his belief in Cam Ward. I thought some strong stuff from Simmons after the game yesterday.
Yeah, that's the type of stuff you want to hear. And obviously, the Cam dudes were just nodding in agreement, like, duh, told you all along. And the what are you doings are probably still going to be skeptical, and that's fine. He's not going to be rookie of the year. No one's going to be looking at this at the end of the season and saying, man, they absolutely nailed that number one overall pick. But days like yesterday make you feel better about it. They should, if you have an open mind and you're willing to, you know, take in new information and and be flexible on what you think might happen, then yesterday is one of those days that pushes the needle in the preferred direction for the Titans. How much, I don't know, but that's a good day. And you know, again, the competitiveness that he mentioned, I don't think anybody would dispute that, yep. Right? It's still about the efficiency, the consistency, and just being able to deliver the ball. And so that's what the quarterback, you know, at a high level and at a higher level than he has so far this year. But I think yesterday was encouraging. And again, it's you're trying to win football games. You're trying to build a team that can win. Got some physicality up front, and it's starting to really lean on people. Is that you know, December football in the NFL, to some extent, there's probably something to that, right? With some of their opponents in particular. But yep. I think you can see at least a few more things that they can take forward than maybe we even thought, I don't know, like a month ago.
Well, you know, Mike Herndon put this stat out there yesterday, a couple of different things. You know, they've scored 24-plus points in four out of their last five games, if you go all the way back to the Seattle game. During that stretch, Ward has a 63.6% completion percentage. He's at 182.4 yards per game, seven touchdowns, one pick, one fumble. And the other thing Herndon pointed out, Joe, was three of those outings, so three of the four 24-plus point outings have come against top six ranked scoring defenses. You've got the Seahawks at three, the Niners at five, and the Chiefs at six. So it's not just that the offense – by the numbers is getting better and by the point total is getting better. They've also done it against some pretty good defenses in the NFL. And by the way, as he points out, you know, the other one is not a top six ranked scoring defense, but they did have Myles Garrett on the team. So when you factor all that in, Joe, like, it's pretty impressive the combination of the numbers that they're putting up, but also the quality of competition that they're doing it against.
Yeah, for sure. And there are different circumstances with some of those. You know, the Seattle one, it was a little bit like after it had gotten out of hand. But still, that's a really good defense that was still on the field. I think the Niners, you know, there were missed opportunities in that Niners game for sure. But that's the Niners could be the one seed still in the NFC, which is crazy to think about, especially with their injuries. But that's still, even with those injuries, solid defense. Again, yesterday, do you get a little bit of an asterisk? For that defense and for what they are at yesterday, especially with an offense that, what do they run, 30-some plays because they're down to a quarterback I had never heard of in my life. Nope. I mean, that's certainly a something to keep in mind. But, yeah, it's there's no question it's a positive trend here.
Well, and then, you know, what does it all mean? Because, you know, I did see some of this yesterday, Joe, of, oh, no. They're getting better under Mike McCoy, which means they're going to give the job to Mike McCoy. And look, I understand it's the Titans, so you can never, I guess, totally rule that out with the interim head coach. But I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, I think they could probably win out here, and Mike McCoy still doesn't get the job at the end of the year. But, I mean, look, you know, we're all over him for some of the coaching decisions that he made earlier in the year and, you know, punting on fourth and two from the 33 or whatever it is. And you know, I don't know how much credit I'm willing to give Mike McCoy, but I'll give him some. I mean, I guess what I'll say is they've hung in there, right? Like, they've hung in there, they took their lumps, and they're not perfect. Like, they, you know, it's not like they've figured out some magic formula here and next year you're going to see the Titans, you know, 12-5 because of the way they close out the season here. But they've hung in there. They've stuck with it. They've clearly gotten better. And I don't know what they've done on the offensive line that's been such a difference maker for them over the last few weeks. But it's obvious. Like, the offensive line has found some sort of turning point after the Jacksonville game, and they've played really well since then.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think they've also had good game plans. They've had good plans of attack. They've had some good coaching stuff that has helped them. I think the Cleveland game was obviously an example of that, but yeah, they've hung in there. He's hung in there. I mean, if we're being serious, I mean, it's a great thing to joke about and threaten Titans fans with, but if we're being serious about it, it probably increases the chances of him at least getting an interview. Were they going to give him a courtesy interview anyway?
Probably.
You know, Yeah, probably, but I mean, it's like maybe people cannot be mad when he has the interview and and it becomes official. Like, Titans have interviewed Mike McCoy. Like, okay, yeah, that's fine. And maybe he's helped himself if he's looking, to go somewhere and do more of a, full-time whatever job somewhere. Like, maybe this helps him what he's done to kind of steady the ship and get a team to play better. And like you said, the offensive line. I'm sure they're not teaching a single thing different than what Bill Callahan was doing, but some things seem to be registering. Or again, just maybe some guys are healthier,
Yeah.
figured some things out with their own chemistry or chemistry amongst each other. I don't know, but definitely there's some really good. I'd like to see like if Baldy, when they were good, we used to always see stuff from him on the Titans up front on both sides of the ball. I feel like yesterday there were some plays where it's like, man, I mean, with Skoronski in particular, with him getting when he's pulling and getting out and destroying people. But I thought Latham, I thought he looked pretty good yesterday
Yeah.
too. And obviously, those are the two guys who are have to be core players.
Well, and Kuharsky talked about this on Friday. He was having a conversation with Skoronski after the Jacksonville game, which was basically like, "Hey, can you explain to me, like, tell me a reason why it looks like you guys give a bleep? Because from our vantage point, it really doesn't feel like you look that way." And apparently, Skoronski talked about this in the aftermath of, I think, the next game in Cleveland, of how they looked at their performance against Jacksonville and were embarrassed by it as an offense, particularly as an offensive line. And for whatever reason, like, they just locked in after that. And it's a fair question to ask, why in the world did it take you all the way up until the Jacksonville game for something to click like that, for you to be embarrassed enough with your performance where the motivation or whatever it is kicked in after that? To your point, Joe, like, I don't think that they're walking around after the Jacksonville game teaching them all that much different stuff from a technique perspective. It's not like, they developed more practice time on the offensive line after the Jacksonville game late in the NFL season. I don't know what it is, but for whatever reason, I guess it could have gone one of two ways after the Jacksonville game, where you either just fold the tent and it's like, well, I guess we'll try it again next year, or you can, try to step up and do something about it. And to their credit, they've stepped up and tried to do something about it. And, I don't know that this means that, J.C. Latham is going to turn into an all-pro right tackle and that Peter Skoronski is going to be a Hall of Fame guard moving forward here, but it's nice to see particularly Latham respond the way that he has over the last few weeks.
Yeah, I don't think they're like, okay, guys, everything Bill said, forget all that, okay? Yeah, he was wrong about everything. Let's, you know what, Olga, Bertha, let's get them out of here. I got some better drills than that. Yeah, no, I mean, but this will, I'm sure, become, we've already had it, but
It's
it'll
already, yep.
become more and more of like, oh, yeah, get old Bill Callahan, get him out of town and look at what happens.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Nice. But, yeah, they are getting better. There is no doubt. And you've still got some spots to figure out, but if again, like you're going to have to figure out left tackle. Can you feel okay about both tackles next year? I mean, I'm not willing to sit here and say like you feel good about your tackles next year, but I do think these last two games are important for that reason. Do you have, and I know Moore's been, he's been banged up here and stuff, but if you can actually feel okay not addressing that with a significant asset, either money, but again, you're not finding a really good tackle in free agency, or a relatively high draft pick. Well, that helps. That helps a lot because you can do other things. One more thing, on the running game, I gotta say, man. And I know Pollard obviously has played really well here down the stretch. Good for him. But I don't know, man. I'm starting to watch Tajay Spears a little bit and
Yeah.
say, he's blowing would-be tacklers up. He looks dynamic out there. Is it possible that Ran, boiled a little water there? Is
Think
that
yesterday was the
possible?
best he's looked. I think that was the best game he's played in a Titans uniform yesterday.
Yeah, he looks like a maybe, somebody who could be part of the future iterations, or at least next year's iteration of the Titans offense.
I mean, think about this matchup we got coming up on Sunday, Joe. It's Titans-Saints. Titans are winning games now. Saints have won three in a row. You got two good young quarterbacks, Ward and Shuck. I mean, we thought this was going to be a joke earlier in the year. This may be the NFL game of the week next week.
They're going to flex this?
Might have to.
They're going to flex this to Sunday night.
Might have to.
No, the Saints blowing out the Jets. That was my lock. That's how good I feel about the Saints. Shuck looks good out there, man.
He does.
Throwing it around. Olave's out there lighting you up in fantasy. It's great.
Good stuff. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. A lot more of your thoughts to get to on the Titans front, and specifically the Cam Ward and offense part of the Titans. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. 1025 The Game is your home for the Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl coming up on Tuesday, December 30th. Tennessee taking on Illinois. Music City Bowl coverage presented by Pickers Vodka and Beyond the Edge Sports Bar. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. Titans win 26-9 yesterday against the Kansas City Chiefs. And we are taking your thoughts. Ed on the text line, Joe, says, is it wrong that part of me wants to see Mike McCoy get the job just to see PK's head explode when it happens? That would be maybe the lone benefit of hiring Mike McCoy to be the full-time head coach. Kuharsky would lose it.
You know, we say that, and who knows? Maybe Kuharsky's warming up to him too.
Maybe
you know,
so.
I mean, it's we're not having these ridiculous. When's the last time we had a ridiculous, like, what are you doing decision or ridiculous comment?
It's been a few weeks. We're making some progress here.
Maybe we're building a long-lasting, nurturing relationship between Paul and Mike.
They missed one fourth down in this game?
Yeah.
Went for it, came up a little short.
That was the helm play.
Like the decision, though. Yeah. Like the decision to go.
I mean, good stuff there.
Sure.
I mean, it's going to be probably a pretty intimate press conference setting today with PK, and I'm sure TDU will be there, but probably not going to be overly crowded because everybody's going to be at the Nick Saban press conference, which I think is going on at, like, the same time, so... Could be a real nice opportunity today for Kuharsky to grow a little bit on the Mike McCoy front.
So the Preds are still doing the thing where they have to schedule press conferences at the exact same time as the Titans press conference?
I don't know.
To see if they can – I mean, I really, really appreciate that. It's really good stuff.
Hey, when Saban can talk, you let him do it.
He's retired. He can talk whenever
he
wants.
He's working all the time. He's on TV all over the place. What are you talking about?
Well,
that's a hard-working man.
They'll Learjet him in wherever he wants to go, whenever he wants to do it. Amazing.
Oh, man. One
really
texter,
sad to miss that.
I'm sure you
someone
are.
Say hi for me.
I will. I'll tell him hi. One texter says, whoever the next coach is needs to make sure they keep Bones Fossil. Yeah, he's pretty good. Like I would imagine that when you're going through the checklist of the current Titans coaching staff that needs to be around for the next group. I mean, look, when you hire these head coaches – especially if you're talking about some experienced head coaches of the names that we've talked about, they probably got an idea of what they want their staff to look like, and who knows, maybe, you know, Bones Fossil is not part of that. You know, Denard Wilson is probably not part of that, would be my guess. I mean, I guess it depends on who you hire there, but, I mean, the difference in coaching, Joe, from the special teams point of view, from what they had last year to what they have this year, is pretty unbelievable, like how much different it is.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, I don't
know if it can get much more dramatic in the NFL.
I don't know that you have two extremes like that that I could possibly think of. Like, oh yeah, I thought they just knew what they were supposed to do. I'm supposed to coach them. to really good guy who should absolutely be retained.
Wait a minute, we're supposed to be practicing out there?
I mean, these guys are pros. They're in the NFL. What? What do you want me to do?
Oh man.
Yeah.
What a beautiful time last year.
Maybe they're coming out of all this, you know?
Maybe.
Maybe, are they? Maybe they're coming out of the woods a little bit.
Maybe. Maybe so. I thought on the Ward front yesterday, again, didn't miss on a ton of throws, looked comfortable in the pocket. The two throws he made after halftime, you know, one to his right, one kind of fading away to his left, I think reminding people of, you know, some of the wow throws that he can make. And, you know, the other thing, we're going to get into the valuing wins and development of the youngsters versus the draft positioning, you know, coming up here in just a minute, Joe. But I have to think, after number one, physically taking the beating that he did in the early part of this year. I mean, we talked about it at one point. He was on pace to get sacked like 70 times. You know, he was taking a lot of hits. Some of those were his fault. Some of those were the fault of the offensive line. But he toughed it out. By the way, he's on pace now for, I believe, 58 sacks. So that number's going down, Joe. It is going down pretty dramatically. So that's good.
Still pretty bad, but
still
yeah,
not great, but it's better than 70. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, he got through that. The offense has gone through turmoil. I mean, you got the coaching change. You got Ridley being injured. You know, the lack of weapons. Everything we've talked about. I have to think the run that he's on right now, which, again, is not perfect. It's not like he's turned into some all-pro player back there or anything. But from a confidence standpoint, and we know how important that is at quarterback in the NFL, to take your lumps and come out of it on the other side with a chance here over the next couple of weeks, Joe, to close out the season on the right foot and really have some actual momentum under your belt heading into the offseason. I think that's a big deal for Cam Ward. And, you know, obviously this season has not gone to plan. I mean, they're going to end up, you know, at least with three wins. We'll see if they can get another one by the time the season rolls away here. But they're starting to play better football. He has been able to take his lumps, is clearly showing some signs of improvement, and I don't know what it's ultimately going to mean for him. But from a confidence perspective, yesterday had to feel pretty good from Cam Ward.
Yeah, and look, we've talked about the whole, especially when it was a little bit more likely that they'd get the number one pick, but we've talked about the, you know, best cases Cam Ward has great efficiency, great numbers, and they lose a close but kind of high-scoring game. But it's still – winning matters in those situations. I mean, in this league, it's such a cliche, but it is really hard to win. And, like, winning is – no matter what, it's still, like, the greatest because – especially for the people who are doing this stuff, who all year long are doing this stuff to play 17 games – and losing sucks no matter what. So at this point, I'm not saying, like, if he plays well and they lose here, lose the last two or whatever, he plays well, that's still good. But I think it is important to them to string together success and for his play to lead to winning. And again, at this point, I understand, and I'm locked out of the text line again, so I have no idea what people are saying about that. But I understand, like, you're sitting there watching the draft number get worse and worse, but I think you should be able to recognize, like, this is there could be some real value in what's going on right now.
Well, and let's just go ahead and get into that conversation. We're gonna spend some time on that. You know, the Titans, according to Tankathon.com, have gone from the number 3 pick now to the number 6 pick at 3-12. There's a jumble of teams at 3-12: Cleveland, the Jets, Arizona. Now the Titans, and the Titans, with their strength of schedule, are at the sixth spot. You know, New Orleans, like I said, has won 3 in a row. They're up to 5 wins. Washington is at 4-11. So there's still an opportunity here for the Titans to, you know, move up a couple of spots. And who knows? They could be drafting, you know, 7th or 8th by the time this is all done here. Which I know if you're a Titans fan, it's like, well, that sucks. Because part of the rebuild plan would be to get the number 1 overall pick or get as high as you possibly can, be able to trade out of it and pick up more picks. And I understand that. I really do. But having said that, I think we would all agree that the most important part of this organization right now, and you can factor in who they hire at head coach, you can factor in all of it, is the quarterback. And if the quarterback is showing some signs of getting better and developing, wouldn't you take that over a couple of spots in the draft? Like, I understand in a perfect world you want both, right? Like, you want the quarterback to show signs of improvement and get better, and for, I guess, the Titans to lose 48-42 at the end of the day because the defense is just totally outclassed. I don't think that's going to happen. So, to me, what Ward has done over the last couple of weeks, the progress that's being made, not only with him, but with some of the rookie pass catchers as well, to me, that's important, right? Like, that to me is going to be really important for them as they head into the offseason, get ready for next year. And I understand, you know, winning a couple of games at the end of the year, there's no transitive property as to what that's going to mean heading into next year. But I do think it's showing you that your quarterback's getting better, which ultimately, if he's getting better, that's what's going to determine whether or not you're any good over the next few years.
Yeah, and again, Latham, there's individuals. You know, Latham, the biggest non-Cam individual story. You know, some of these, you know, some other guys on both sides of the ball. He's Spears. Like, to me, you know, the next coach watches film here of these last few games. He watches yesterday's cut-ups, and you know, he's looking at Spears and thinking, okay, you know, this guy can have a role. And there's, and obviously the receivers, the three young pass catchers and things like that. So, yeah, look, I think it's a good thing to get some of these things together. How good can that group be? You're still going to, of course, have to add some big-time talent to it. But if you have some young guys who have built chemistry and have, again, figured out, you know, this wins in the NFL. We know what it is to win in the NFL. And then you can add some big-time talent to it. It's like even just the off-season discussion and preseason discussion changes from, well, is this going to be an absolute bleep show again, to, well, can they build on this? And I think there's some value to that even psychologically.
615-737-1025, our phone number. The value of wins for Cam Ward and the youngsters versus the pain some Titans feel on losing out on the number one pick. How do you weigh the two? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Mondays were made for Macero. Big screens, bold flavors, and all the football action from queso to kickoffs. This is how Macero does game night. Macero Football Mondays in 12 South. Don't miss a snap. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Discussing the value of winning some games for Cam Ward and these young players on offense versus draft positioning and some Titans fans upset that the number one pick seems to be falling completely out of their grasp. Now, as Joe, as we've talked about, I mean, the Giants and the Raiders play each other, so somebody's going to win that game. You know, the Raiders, for a minute, look like they, you know, might screw around and hang in there and make things interesting with Houston yesterday. That ultimately did not end up happening. But, you know, the number one pick feels like it's gone at this point. I mean, they're number six right now in the draft order, and, like, there's so many things that would have to happen that it just doesn't feel like the number one pick is going to be there. So, Joe, if the number one pick is not there, it's not impossible for the Titans to finish, like, you know, second or third, and somebody, I guess, still want to trade with them. I mean, we saw it last year with Jacksonville trading. So it's not impossible for that to happen. But to me, if you're not getting the number one pick, and particularly if a team right behind you is quarterback needy, and we'll see, you know, which quarterbacks actually end up coming out in the draft this year, which is another thing we don't know about right now. Like, it kind of feels like, and a couple people have brought this up on the text line, like, what's really the difference between drafting third and drafting sixth, right? Like, I understand you want as high of a draft pick as possible, but if you're a general manager, like, you're still going to have your opportunity to pick what should be a pretty darn good player if you're drafting at number six right now. And in the meantime, coupled with that, your quarterback playing better, some of your skill guys that are young that you're trying to build a nucleus around are showing signs that they may be players for you in the NFL. Like, wouldn't you take that trade-off if you're a Titans fan? Now, Joe, there are some Titans fans that say, screw that, give me the highest draft pick possible, and let's see if we can wheel and deal a trade here and get a couple of really good players high in the draft.
Yeah, look, I will disagree a little bit on, like, there's no difference between three and six because, well, first of all, obviously you have available more of the absolute blue-chip players, but also, like, at three, that's still a spot that could turn into, you know, depending on the order and everything, that maybe someone moves up to get a QB at one, someone takes Reuben Bain at two, the next QB, and again, who is the next QB? Is there a next QB right now that projects to be taken that high? No. Does that mean there won't be? No. There probably will be. And I can't tell you who that would be. Maybe Dante Moore. Maybe Ty Simpson. Both of those guys move on to the playoff. They play well.
Diego Pavia.
Apparently Diego Pavia, by saying F the voters, has destroyed his draft status. It's just, oh, my goodness. He used the F word.
Yeah.
And also, 5 years ago, he peed on the New Mexico logo. He is never going to play in this league. Yeah, don't get me started on some of the crap flying around about that. But you could at three maybe be in a position to move down, whereas obviously it gets tougher the further down you go. So there's no difference, but also the best player in the draft might be taken 19th. I mean, there's also that too. The haul idea, the big haul, if you're getting the first pick, that is very attractive for a team like the Titans that needs so much help. But yeah, you're still going to at six, at five, you're still going to have a chance to take a difference-making player, and then maybe you're going to have a chance to move down and add picks. It's possible still.
Tyler says, now that the number one pick is out of reach, I feel like winning the last two games is way more valuable than getting the sixth pick versus the ninth pick. Richard on the YouTube chat says, the further they drop in the draft order, the more likely a wide receiver is taken with the first pick. That's not a bad thing, combined with winning. This is from Richard on the YouTube chat. I mean, that is, if you're looking at projections, which I know is kind of borderline crazy to do in December, Joe, but that is kind of where they've got, like, Carnell Tate right now. It's 6, 7, 8, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Well, that's true. Now, Prudential, who also points out, by the way, that the Preds just moved from second best to seventh best odds to draft Gavin McKenna.
Yeah.
And the other side of, like, tanking failures, points out that, he's a, what about Jeremiah Love? Could be, he'd be right around that spot.
They could.
I'm not saying they should do that, but that's about probably low top 10 is about where he'll probably go, or at least where he's projected right now.
One texter says, I don't remember where I heard this from, but there was a report that a lot of general managers in the NFL view the 2027 draft as the potential to be one of the best drafts of all time, and a lot of general managers won't want to trade currency of next year's draft for this upcoming draft. That could be the case. I mean, I think, sometimes, Joe, it's a little bit dangerous to if you're a general manager, to be looking ahead to the next year's draft because, if it's bad enough, you may not be the general manager of that team anymore. But, I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to think about some guys that could be draft eligible or that will be draft eligible in 2027 and what the top of that draft could look like.
Yeah, that, certainly. There's some guys, again, like Jeremiah Smith, he just may be too good to not be the number one overall pick, even though we expect that to be a quarterback almost every year. It's going to be loaded. But, yeah, even some of those projections, as we know, look at the quarterback projections for this draft as of September.
Yep.
And look at them now. Like, complete. It's like taking an etch-a-sketch and just shaking it, and it's just totally different. So, in this league, I think that if whatever situation you're in, you're desperate to keep your job all the way to you feel like you're in your window and you've got to make if you feel like you got a difference-making player, you'll give up 27 picks if you need to.
Yep.
That'll happen. You have to live year by year in the NFL.
Joey from Bellevue says, I don't think the Titans would have lost yesterday even if they tried. Kansas City is awful. It is what it is. Is the GM good enough? He'll pick a difference maker no matter what. They won't be able to trade down anymore because I don't see him picking in the top four. Well, and look, the other part of this, Joe, is what we think about the draft and how the order is going to shake out now. The people are already talking about Reuben Bain and like the size of his arms. And it's like, well, he's got short arms. So there's some NFL. I think I saw our, who was it? It was Brugler, Dane Brugler, this weekend said that there are some NFL GMs that have a second day grade on Reuben Bain. And, I think a lot of people would say, well, that's insane. But, that's what I'm talking about. We're going to go through the process with all these guys, which, as we know, Joe, ends up with scrutiny from all over the place. And who knows who's going to be available at number six by the time the draft actually comes around.
Yeah. And that stuff. Yeah, right. Exactly. Now, just in that particular instance, I love that. Watch a guy play football. He's not a second-day player.
Yeah, there was a stat. I can't remember the exact number from the tweet I saw about however many first-round outside linebacker edges with under 31-inch arms have, like, however many sacks, and it was just not a good number.
Who was the this totally reminds me of the guy from Syracuse who went to the Colts and people were down on his
Freeney.
I think it was Dwight. Was it Dwight Freeney? Is that right?
He was from Syracuse.
I don't know. An edge for the Colts. Is it Freeney? Maybe it was Freeney. Regardless,
he turned up pretty good.
It was the same thing. Like, yeah, he's too short. Doesn't have long enough. I don't know if he was a 31 guy or whatever. But yeah, it's like, yeah, did you see him in college? He made all the plays. He gets off blocks. He tackles the quarterback. Yeah, see, he did that in the NFL too. So hey, there you go. Maybe the Titans can move down and take Bane early second.
I saw that tweet. I was like, really? A second day grade for Reuben Bane? How about that?
The measurables thing, man. It doesn't not matter, but I think for some GMs it matters too much.
615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot more of your thoughts to get to on the Titans. We will do that coming up next. We'll get into the college football playoff next hour. Corey Curtis will be with us at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.